Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to this Sunday, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. It is also July the 3rd, 2022. 11 years ago, July the 3rd, 2011, the Well Church began at the Forest Dance Academy on Water Lake Road. I'm curious, how many of you were at that first service? Raise your hand. All right. Praise God. And we have seen the dear Lord so faithful in preserving His church, and hopefully people have been ministered to through us over the last 11 years. And we'll have some cake and nuts afterwards in the narthex for you to celebrate that, and we can reminisce a bit. I remember the quote of Martin Luther when I think of our church and the perseverance. And he used to say that when he, and I know this is true for me, that when he looked at himself, he really thought there was no way in the world he could be saved. But when he looked at God and His grace, he knew there was no way in the world he wouldn't be, because God is so good. And when I look at who this, and I don't mean this as false humility, I just mean it truthfully. I look at the pastor this church has, I can't believe it's been 11 years. But when I think of the goodness of God and how wonderful our parishioners are, and I just want to celebrate you. You love Jesus Christ and you love each other. And I just am honored to be a part of who you are. So blessings to us all on this day. Next week, we're going to celebrate a pool party. We're going to have a pool party together as we gather at the Kirch's house next Sunday at 2 p.m. Bring ice cream, bring a dessert to share. If you don't bring ice cream, bring a towel, bring a chair to sit in, and come to have fun. When you get there, drive on back behind his barn workshop. There's plenty of places to park there, and then come up to the pool. If you need assistance in walking, someone will valet your car down. Any other announcements about that, Kelly?
That's it.
All right. Come and have a great time. And tomorrow, as our nation celebrates its birthday, we will be gathering at Poplar Forest, and our own Dave Dietrich will be making a presentation about the Declaration of Independence, and then Thomas Jefferson himself will read that. So it should be a good time. Any other announcements? All right, let's move to prayer requests before we begin. Any items for prayer or praise this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Joan Roseanne. They're in Monaco now, and she has COVID and is quarantined on the ship.
Will that delay her return?
I'm not sure.
So, if you didn't hear, John and Joan Roseanne were on a cruise over in Italy and Europe, and Joan has COVID, and she's quarantined on the ship. So let's keep Joan and John in our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Karen.
My Aunt Susan Atkins had to be transported by ambulance on Thursday. She got out of the hospital yesterday, so we just keep her in prayers if they do some tests on her heart, and just keep Garnet Susan under the prayer right now.
Let's keep Garnet and Susan in our prayers.
And also, we'll pray for Lebanon, my mother's girls, our house, so we are doing a lot of
right. So let's keep all of Darby's children in prayer with all that's involved with her selling her house. And when is she moving into you?
I'm doing it. It's been 1 week already, and for 3 days I've been out of here.
Well, we'll definitely keep all of you in prayer. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I have a praise. I don't want to embarrass them, but we're very pleased to have the Van Clapperts with us today, Werner and Kathy. And you know, get to know them, introduce yourself to them. They're just lovely people, and we love them to death.
Well, I can understand why. I've enjoyed visiting with them as well. Welcome to you today. And they have a beautiful little pup that's out in the car, I think. Someone said they walked by this white Jeep and it was running, but then they saw the reason why. So we love our dogs here at this congregation. They are a blessing to us. Even our cats, those of you who have those. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, as we come together today, there is one absolute truth that we know above all truths, and that is that your graciousness and love, your mercy, is amazing, is truly incredible. Your faithfulness and goodness to us is without measure. It's unlimited and constant. Lord, we thank you in the world in which we live, which is quite understandably and rightfully so merit-based, where we receive the just reward of our decisions, good and bad. But we are grateful that in your economy, your love and your faithfulness are not tied to who we are, but it's according to your goodness. It's according to Christ's finished work for us all. We have seen your hand of faithfulness over the 11 years of this congregation as you have continued to uphold us, as we have been able to reach and just minister your good news to each other and to others. We thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the wonderful people that I'm privileged to gather every Sunday and worship your name together. It is a blessing, and I thank you. I pray that you'd be with the individual needs that each member may have. I pray that you'll draw close to those that are hurting and give strength and comfort. Draw close to the confused, to the lonely. Draw close to those that are in different health issues. We think of Susan. We pray that you would be with her and with Garnet. We pray that you'd be with Joan. We pray that her COVID would be mild. Pray that you would be with John. We thank you that you carry us through life, and especially during the difficult times. So with the transition that Darby and her family will be experiencing, we pray logistically that everything will go smoothly, that emotions would be joyous, and in the midst of the transition, may it prove to be a blessed change. Be with them all. Thank you for those that are assembled today, faces that we've seen from the very beginning and faces that may be new today. But we gather as one with Christians around the world, the whole heavenly host, praising your goodness and yours alone. And we pray, as always, through the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin.
Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. You'll look with me to the insert. Before we stand and sing hymn 3, we will use this first 7 verses of Psalm 66, calling each to worship. Be joyful in God, all ye lands. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your name is great before you.
All the earth bows down before you, sings to you, sings out your name.
Come now and see the works of God, how wonderful he is in his doing toward all people.
He turned the sea into dry land, so that they went through the water on foot, and there rejoiced in him.
In his mind he rules forever, his eyes keep watch over the nations, let no rebel rise up against him.
Bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 10 to 14. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, and you shall be carried upon her hip, and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. And he shall show his indignation against his enemies. Second reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the world share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen.
Eat what is set before you.
heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your own town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to the name of Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here in the freedom of this country. We can gather publicly, openly, without threat. We thank you for the privilege to gather in your name. We come not in our own name, not on our own authority, but invited and clothed in the wedding garments by the one who invites. So we come to focus upon and celebrate that gracious bridegroom, the lover of our souls. We would see Jesus and him alone. And this we ask in his name. Amen. Why are you here this morning? I mean, I'm here because I got paid to be here. I'm sort of have to be here. But why are you here? You know, we have wonderful music, but you could have gotten that on the radio. I'm going to try to preach a sermon that keeps you somewhat engaged, but I know you could hear better sermons on the radio, and I'll tell you who they are and which ones to listen to. I know you didn't come for the cake. Why are you here? Well, I think I want to answer that or have you answer in a different way. And maybe you've forgotten, and I want to remind you, who told you about Jesus? Where did you learn about his love and acceptance and grace for you? I mean, we get so complicated. And I know us theologians can truly complicate things. So let's just get simple again. Somebody told you about Jesus. Maybe a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a co-worker, a neighbor, a friend. But someone told you. Biblically speaking, even though I probably don't know of whom you're thinking, I can say this about them. Biblically speaking, they had beautiful feet. That image we read in Romans 10, I'm going to read from 14 to 18. Speaking of those that will be saved in verse 13. And then verse 14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone proclaiming? And how are they to proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim good news." We see in our text today, and it's only here in Luke, this great commission where Jesus sends out the 70 or the 72, and the textual situation's a little tough on there, but either one, he sends out the 12 disciples, and he sends now out the 70 to go two by two and preach. And it's sending out, and it's representing himself. And what I want to do is go through this text, and the first thing I'm going to do is I want to go through it and explain it to you. One of the best books outside of the book, the Bible, that you can read is a book called How to Read a Book. And it's a wonderful book by Mortimer Adler, and it tells you how to read a book. And this was before the days where we could pull it up and look on our phone, but one of the things he said is, read with a pen and a 3x5 card. And when you come across something you don't understand, a word you don't know, or an allusion that you're unaware of, write it down, go look it up. Because there's a backstory that's assumed by every author. When you tell a story, you assume a lot of knowledge, don't you? And when you listen to someone, you assume knowledge. I mean, it's laborious to listen to someone that needs to tell you the backstory of everything they say. So there's an assumption. Well, Luke does this. The scriptures do this. And there's a lot of images that Jen read to us from Luke 10 that we need to sort of unpack before we can understand it. And I'd like to do that for you. If you look with me at Luke 10, the sending out, he sends these out and they go out and they are sent. And the word there for sent is the apostulo, which we get apostle. It is sending out with a message. There is a Hebrew idiom or notion that says the saliach of a man is as the man himself. And saliach is just Hebrew for messenger. So what it says is, as your messenger is, it's as if you're receiving the man himself. And when Jesus sends us out, it's quite simple. He's sending us out as he would go. You go out and you go as Christians. And if you look with me, he sends them two by two. You probably remember why he would send two. Because you may remember from the Old Testament, two was the magical number to witness or confirm the truth. So you go out two by two, and he says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in the harvest. As you're going your way, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And you might read that and go, thanks, Jesus. You're sending me out as a lamb in the midst of wolves. But in the Hebrew, the idiom that we would have for being a lamb in the midst of wolves is a different idiom. If you go and look for the Hebrews, and you see this often in the Psalm of Solomon, or in the Psalms, that the lamb is, we go at representing who the lamb is. So we're going out into this world that's mean and hateful and like wolves. And we go out and we go as the lamb. We see this quite tragically as you watch the news, where there's a lot of identification with some people with a donkey. There's also a lot of identification of some people with an elephant. And those two people, groups that represent those animals, are quite vigorous in their wolf-like behavior toward the other, and we see it play out. And in the midst of that, we're to be the lamb. We're to go out as a lamb. We are Christians. We go as Christ would go. And what we do is we preach the word. We proclaim. A study was done by the Alban Institute about 15 years ago, and they did it of the Episcopal Church USA, and they wanted to poll how frequently Episcopalians invited another person to church or shared with them in another way the gospel of Jesus Christ. The study showed, I don't know what you would think how frequently it would be, the study showed once every 27 years. One time in 27 years. Now we can shake our head at that and say, well, you know those Episcopalians. But the truth of the matter is, how often do we talk to someone else about Jesus Christ? And we go out and we share the gospel. And what we do is we go knowing that some will not hear. Some will reject the message. And what he says is that we wipe the dust off our feet and we keep going. Now, one thing I want to focus on is, what is your motivation? Why are we to do this? And if you'll allow me to draw us to the very end, is we share the good news because, as you've heard me say for 11 years, and you've probably heard me say it many times, is you have never been loved the way Jesus Christ loves you. You've been loved well by parents, you've been loved well by others, but you don't know what it is to have love until you've received the love of Jesus Christ. Tertullian said that evangelism is simply going and tell people, quit fighting with someone who gave his life to love you. Quit fighting someone who gave his life. So our evangelism and going out is not a command or a chore that we have to do it. We just want to talk about someone we love. We want to talk about someone who loves us. And when we go forth in the confidence of knowing that we are Christian. That word simply means little Christ. We carry Christ when we go. And we're not telling them how good we are. We're telling them the authority of the word. Look at these passages or these analogies where it says to go. And if there's a son of peace there, we would say a peaceful person, but they often would say, like when they talk about James and John, they would call them sons of thunder. So this is just another Hebrew idiom. A son of peace is literally a peaceful person. And you receive a peaceful person, your peace will rest upon them. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house, eating and drink what they provide. In other words, don't try to be opportunistic, going, trying to find the best meals. Just stay where you are, and while you're there, eat what's before you and talk about the kingdom. Heal the sick and say to them, verse 9, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God comes whenever the word of God is proclaimed. Not so much from a pulpit, but when you tell a coworker who's having a difficult time, I'm going to pray for you. When you tell someone who's going through a hard way, God loves you exactly the way you are now. He could not love you any more or any less. God loves you. When you share that with someone, you're expanding the kingdom. In that simple act, your feet are beautiful, the kingdom is expanded, and you are being Christ to them. Now, it does say that some won't hear. It says in verse 11, even the dust of that town will cling to our feet, wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom has come. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now that's one we don't need to look up. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? You remember that they were totally destroyed by God. He pulled out Lot and his family, destroyed the town. And if you look and see what they were, the sin of Sodom, is you look in Isaiah, you look in Ezekiel, and it was a sin of inhospitality. They also had other sins that we know of by the name, but they were not hospitable. In fact, when the angels came to visit Lot, they wanted to take and rape the two visitors, which is the ultimate reversal of not being hospitable. And so what they're saying is, it is be better to be Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than to reject this simple message that Jesus loves you. So we don't reject it. We receive it, and we go and we preach and we serve. We go and just offer Jesus Christ. I know you do it more than every 27 years. I know you do it. You do it to each other. You've done it to me. You've preached the gospel. When you want to extend your heart to another, in the offertory that Mona played today, we have that new commandment that Jesus gave. They will know we are Christians by our love. Beautiful are the feet of the one who told you about Christ. Amen. Let us confess our faith together, standing and singing, or standing and confessing together from the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
He sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we gladly lift our hearts to you in thanksgiving and praise, because you have hidden your story of salvation from the wise and intelligent and revealed it to infants. You have disclosed your mercy to the outcast Hagar, to the barren Sarah, to the shunned Rahab, to the childless Hannah, and to the unmarried Mary. In Jesus, you became a child for us, through whom we might discover the secrets of your glory. Again and again, you revealed your sacred purpose. Through those your world despises, demeans, or ignores, finally, you made your purpose known through your Son, cursed by our sin as he hung on the cross. And so we rejoice with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, singing the song of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Overflowing God, as you led your children to meet their destinies at the well, you become in Christ the well of life that replenishes us that we may never be thirsty again. Fill your church with your abundant grace. that it may be a cup that runneth over with your mercy. Send your Holy Spirit upon this food and drink, that it may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of the weary and heavy laden, God of the tired, the poor, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free, God of the homeless and the tempest-tossed, bring rest to all who labor today. Set your gentle yoke upon them, for you are gentle and humble in heart. Be a shining golden light in the souls of all who struggle in body, mind, or spirit, with demons within or without, with fears about the future or regrets about the past. Through this communion with you, in union with Christ, in the power of your Spirit, write on our hearts a new law that draws us to walk with you across the storms of suffering, the tremors of temptation, and the pangs of persecution, and on the last day bring us home to you forever.
Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, we are invited, and the promise is given to us. We are invited to come, not alone, but as the church, the bride of Christ. So we come together to receive Christ. We always pray, "Our Father," for we are together with the Father and brothers and sisters. So we come with Christians around the world and those that have gone on to glory, the whole communion of the saints, to worship with the heavenly host, the one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come and partake. We partake by intinction. I'll give you the host. You dip it in the chalice. Come forward and have prayer. And if you remember someone that may be on your heart, there's a card here. Say a prayer for them at the altar, and then take a card and send it to them. It probably would mean everything in the world for them to get a card from you saying that you lifted them up in prayer. This is the table of the Lord. The feast, our Passover feast, is Jesus Christ. Come and receive today.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, we thank you that someone told us about Jesus. We're thankful that we are surrounded by brothers and sisters that still remind us that Jesus loves us. Remind us deep in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of your word. In the midst of all the other voices that would lead us at times to question the goodness or the worth or the love or the joy of life, deeply speak it over again to us. That Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. May we speak it to ourselves, may we speak it to each other, and may we speak it loudly as we go into the world. May our feet be beautiful as they carry Christ wherever we go. In his holy name, amen. Let us stand and close our worship at the final minute. Precious and all certain word we share that Jesus loves me. Let us hear the benediction. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.